You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. We usually have him on Monday, but things very fluid, very busy with the trade deadline and all that. But we do narrow down EJ Raddick to a Wednesday, and we welcome him to the show. How are you, sir?
It's very fluid.
Very fluid.
Yeah.
Much like the deadline, man. Cool. I mean, it's... I think the NHL nails their deadline. I don't know how you feel about it, but like the NBA's felt like it's too early, baseball too early. I think this is the perfect time. You're at the three-quarter pole, so everybody's got around 20 games left, still kind of enough time to assess, but enough time to kind of get the chemistry going when the deals are made to hit the playoffs. And I think of the four major sports, I think the NHL nails their deadline better than anybody.
Yeah, it's 40 days. I think that's the 40 days for the end of the regular season is when they have it. So it's not like just a random thing. I mean, they do have a time marker for it. But, yeah, I don't disagree. I think, you know, teams are at that place where they can figure out if they're going to make a move or may have a chance to make a run or looking to sell and maybe kind of readjust their team in for the off season. To see what they want to do. So, yeah, I think they do a good job with it. It's one of those times of year that I think it's really the time of year when every fan base is engaged because you're either a buyer or a seller. And, you know, if you're a team that's played well, you're hoping to maybe pick up somebody to help your team move forward. If you're a team that's played poorly, you're looking to see if you can move out assets to get draft picks. So it's a time when everybody's engaged. I feel like that month leading into the trade deadline – and I think, second point is the first round of the playoffs when you have 16 teams, 16 fan bases all engaged are two times that are really a buzz kind of for fans in this league.
So Washington trades off Mantha, and even though they're still mathematically alive, I think the writing's on the wall for them. Certainly the Devils make the coaching change, lose again last night. Buffalo, Montreal are done. Pittsburgh and the Islanders are curious to me. Pittsburgh's still alive. They won last night. Because of the games in hand they have, are they going to be a buyer or a seller? You hear Gensel possibly being moved. Where does Pittsburgh stand? Do they buy into these games in hand? Do they buy into being a playoff team? Or do they look at it the way kind of I do, and I don't see a playoff team there? How do you think that's going to go down with them?
I think they're going to sell. I think they're going to sell Gensel. You know, I think that's someone that I think they'll look to move. Now, I think it really depends upon what they can get in return for him. I don't think they want to give him away. So I think it'll be that normal formula that we talk about, Don, for these type of players, is they'll be looking for a first-round draft pick. They'll be looking for some sort of prospect. I mean, usually the team that you're dealing with isn't going to give you their top prospect or their top two prospects. They give you a list of, let's say, B prospects to choose off of. And then maybe it's some kind of pick that is a conditional pick based on how a team finishes with, you know, if they trade Gensel. So if he puts, for example, if they were trading to Carolina, if Carolina made it to the Cup final, maybe they would end up with another pick or a five that becomes a two, one of those type of conditions. So that's the formula for those things. I think that's the move for the Penguins. So they can even go back to Gensel in the offseason before the trade, in free agency and try to re-sign him if they want to keep him, or if he wants to come back. So I think that's the play. I think the Penguins made that trip out west, and I'm not saying that they can't get hot here in their last 22 games and make a push. I mean, it's not inconceivable, but I think the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals, I mean, I always talk about them together because Sid and Crosby kind of came in together. They were the faces of the league for many years. They're still faces of the league, maybe to a lesser extent than they were, but And for different reasons, these teams are, you know, they're going to be challenges moving forward. Washington Capitals aren't looking to move Alex Ovechkin. He's chasing down the greatest record in hockey, right? So there's going to be a lot to that. They're going to have to rebuild around that. And in Pittsburgh, we will see what happens with, you know, how they handle Sidney Crosby moving forward. Crosby's still one of the very, very best players in this league. But some of the other older players there, they are starting to, you know, deal with the father time. And so how do they handle that moving forward? So I think both those franchises have some tricky waters to navigate. But that's the price you end up with when your team has been a really good team for a couple of decades, and the Penguins got 3 Stanley Cups out of their run, and the Washington Capitals were very good and got a Stanley Cup in 2018. So at the end of the day, I do think Pittsburgh will sell what they have, and certainly Guentzel is a piece the teams are interested in.
Now, the Islanders very much alive, 4-game winning streak now, huge come-from-behind victory against St. Louis last night, in which you were in attendance. And now they go out west. The first 2 games out west are San Jose and Anaheim, and those are 2 of the worst teams in the league that likely will sell pieces off by the time the Islanders play them. So a very good chance that this can turn out to be a 6-game winning streak before they continue to Los Angeles for that game the following Sunday, which then puts them right in the conversation, right? They're only 4 points back at Tampa with 2 games in hand. So what do you think the Islanders are going to do here?
Well, Lou Lamoriello made it very clear. He spoke to the media and said, we are not subtracting. So he goes, if we have a chance to add something to our team, we'll do it. So I'll be curious to see if that's the case. I think they could use a defenseman or a forward. I mean, I think they need, you know, any kind of speed up front, I think, would help them. You know, when I got to really take a good look at them last night, I mean, the goalie's obviously very good. I think the defense is, it's solid. And I think the area for me is, can they create enough speed and push teams back and play in the offensive zone more? I thought they did a really good job against the Blues last night, but, you know, the Blues were in a second of a back-to-back. The Islanders pushed really hard in the game early. They had a lot of good chances. Joel Holfer played very well for the Blues. The Blues ended up getting a 2-0 lead, and it looked like one of those nights where even though you were playing well, you weren't going to win. But to the Islanders' credit, they got it tied up before the end of the second period and ended up getting a goal. I think it was Horvat made a really good play to get a 3-2
gorgeous
lead.
And they were able to
hang on, Don. I mean, that's the biggest thing about that win last night for the Islanders. We've talked about it. They've blown all kinds of third-period leads this year. We saw it at the Stadium Series. We saw it. You know, we've seen it throughout the season. I mean, the number of points they've squandered by blowing leads and, losing games in overtime they would be very comfortably in the playoffs if they would have just, you know, won a half of those games or held on to half of those points. So the fact that they were able to shut it down late in the game when they had a 1-goal lead in the third period, it's got to be something that they can – you know, maybe feel good about and grab onto. And you're right, they go to play San Jose and Anaheim. Those are, let's face it, those are must-win games. And the Devils just went through that, right? They went out there, they beat San Jose, they ended up losing to Anaheim in a crazy game, and then they got pretty much manhandled by Los Angeles, and the next thing you know, Lindy Ruff is out of work. So the Islanders know what's in front of them. They got to go beat San Jose, and they got to go beat Anaheim, and there's just no other, you know, there's no other way to talk about it. They have to get those 4 points.
And a team that doesn't get talked about nearly as much as they should is Carolina, right? I mean, they're 6 points back of the Rangers with a game in hand, plus 29 goal differential. This is a heck of a team. That are they going to get Anderson back? If they do, I think they become even better. But what do you think they're looking at there to try to get a push to catch the Rangers and or at least just solidify, if nothing else, that home ice in the first round?
Well, a little more goal scoring, right? A little bit more offense. I think in a perfect world, they could use a second center. I mean, where do you get those guys, right? I mean, like, they're just, we saw a couple of them change hands. We saw Sean Monahan go to Winnipeg. We saw Elias Lindholm go from Calgary to Vancouver. Now, the interesting thing there is rumbling that the Canucks feel like, you know, we just signed Pettersson. Elias Lindholm, we're having a hard time kind of fitting him. maybe we make a play. You know, the rumor yesterday, I think Chris Johnston had a tweet on it, was that the Penguins might be willing to flip Lindholm somewhere to try to get it on Gensel. And that makes sense because of that Pittsburgh connection with Jimmy Rutherford and Patrick Alvin and Rick Tock, all those guys that are right. in Vancouver, a lot of them were in Pittsburgh, right? So the talk was that Boston maybe could then get it on Lindholm. But I would tell you that if I'm the Carolina Hurricanes and I hear that there's a chance that Elias Lindholm could be had, and they were originally drafted Elias Lindholm, I'm doing whatever I can to get him. Because to me, he's a right shot centerman. You can put him right behind Aho. You know, it was a 1A, 1B kind of situation. It really solves a problem, I think, for the Carolina Hurricanes, that he could slide right in there. In Vancouver, they had him at center, then they moved him to wing. And, you know, it's almost like after a month there, you wonder, why did they get this guy? Because he's a center, and he's a very good center. And he's a more, you know, to me, he's more of a two. But he's had, a couple years back, he had a season where, you know, he was as good as anyone in the middle with that line they had in Calgary with Tkachuk doing so well for them. So, you know, and Johnny Gaudreau, I believe, was on that line as well. So that'd be the guy. So it'll be interesting to see now what Vancouver's going to do, because both Boston and Carolina, and let's face it, the New York Rangers would love to have another center. Could that work? You know, so, I mean, those are three teams right off the top of my head that I'm thinking, boy, if Lindholm becomes available, if I'm in the front office there, I'm trying to figure out a way to make that happen. So we'll see. You know, we only have to wait, you know, another 48 hours to find out. But it's going to be an interesting few days, I think.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You bring up the Rangers, and it's like, is it center or is it right wing? Because sometimes you think, get that right winger to try to pair with Zibanejad and Kreider, because let's face it, they just don't do enough 5-on-5, and they just haven't been able to find that guy. Although I think with time, Kako could work there. But listen, you get impatient. The games become big. You need goals. Yeah. You start, you know, moving things around. But, you know, I like the Cooley line with Brodzinski, but then they move Brodzinski to the fourth line, which I just think that's wasting speed with Enstrom and Rempe. It just seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect with the bottom six. So I start to think that maybe a center, because they just, listen, I like Barkley Goodrow. There's just not enough pop there. It just, you're not getting enough production. And so what do you think? Winger, center, both? How do you think Drury's going to play this?
Well, listen, in a perfect world, you'd like to get both.
Right.
But I don't know. I look at the Rangers, and I said, even coming into the year, I thought like Filippito was such an important player, because I think Filippito was ready to make a step forward even more and be maybe that second center behind Zibanejad and really fill out that group through the middle. But obviously he was injured, and now he's done for the year, so he's not in the mix. So for me, I think still job one is to find another center, because you can move centers around even if you have more than you need, but it's hard to move a winger to the middle. You know, there's a reason they play on the wing. So that would be the first play for me, if that guy is out there. You know, like Sean Monahan might have been that guy, but unfortunately they weren't able to get that, or they weren't willing to trade what was necessary to get it. Now, Lindholm might be available again. So, as I said, if he is, I think that's a guy that you look at. I do think they're going to need more from Zibanejad 5-on-5, getting to the middle of the ice. I don't think the numbers have been good in terms of just his play this year, consistently getting to the middle of the ice, getting scoring chances, for whatever reason. And, like, he's kind of been a streaky player or a streaky scorer, but he's been a really good player and a number one center for the Rangers and a legit number one center. But I think, you know, when you look at his play this season, and I just think there's more there. So they're going to have to find a way to get that out of him as they get into down the stretch and certainly in the playoffs, because if he isn't creating and getting to the middle of the ice and getting scoring chances in those situations, it's going to be hard for the Rangers to win. I mean, the playoffs are just too hard. It's a 7-game series against a single opponent. You have, those are the matchups you have to try to win, you know, and so he's going to, no matter what they end up doing, he is going to have to, I think, elevate his play, you know, down the stretch and in the playoffs in those situations to get to the middle of the ice and create those scoring chances and those shot opportunities in there.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We'll see how that works out. I do think they'll be very active. I guess the Vetrano is a want. He's been here before, but he's going to cost, I think, a lot more than the Roslovics and the Wenberg. So we'll see how that plays itself out there. Out west, I usually don't say this, EJ, and I could end up being all wet on this, and I mean no disrespect to Vegas or Nashville. Nashville's played great, although they lost last night in overtime to Montreal. Yeah. I think it's vitally important to win the Central, don't you? That 2-3 matchup is just unfair, right? So, you know, if you win the division and you lose to Vegas, you know, now listen, Vegas, I don't want to disrespect Vegas. They're a good team, but they are what they are this season. They certainly can beat anybody, but, you know, if you lose to Vegas, if you lose to Nashville in the first round, I mean, it's kind of on you. But if you've got to hook up that 2-3 matchup in the Central Division, is just an absolute beast. You got to win this division.
Well, I think that's one that I would say is the most interesting, because, you know, especially for the Winnipeg Jets, I just got to call their game against Carolina on Saturday.
They five straight goals.
They scored 5 times and won the game and really looked good in doing it. They've had a good season, and they've got a great goalie. He's playing well. They added Monahan. They have Scheifele through the middle. They're in position to maybe add more. They may get, as we get towards the playoffs, when the season ends at the University of Michigan, however things go there, they've got a player in Rutger McGrarty, who's a Jets pick, who's ready to come out, apparently, and he was the captain of the World Junior team that won the gold medal for Team USA, and I think he could be just another helpful piece. Remember, you know, you can go back to when Chris Kreider came out of BC and really helped the New York Rangers in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm not saying McGrarty is going to do that, but he's a good player. He's another piece. He's a strong kid, and he could come in and just help their group. I'll be curious to see what they do between now and, you know, on Friday. But if the Jets could win the division and have Dallas and Colorado kind of square off in a first-round matchup and kind of beat each other up, I think that would benefit them greatly. We always, you know, going back to our time at NHL Live, Dan, we always just talk about the past, right? It's like, to me, it's always, how healthy are you at the playoffs, and what's your path? What are the matchups? And so I agree. I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but I think it just makes your path a more reasonable path. So the Winnipeg Jets, if they could play, let's say, Nashville in the first round, and then get the you know, if they were to take care of their business, then get the winner of Dallas, Colorado after probably a tough series, I think that would give them the best chance to get to the conference final. And then you get your conference final, you take your chances with who you got out of the Pacific. But the path is important, and it's nice sometimes to avoid teams, you know. And the example I always use is 2012 with the Devils, where, you know, they played Florida in the first round, who at that time was like not a team that had been a playoff-hardened team. They had barely been in the playoffs, and the Devils needed all 7 games in overtime to win that series. The next round, they got the Flyers, who had just had an emotional series against the Penguins. The Devils matched up well against the Flyers in that era. They beat them in 5. Then they got a Ranger team that was really depleted after a couple 7-game series. They beat them. They went to the Cup Finals. They ended up losing to L.A. But the path was great for them. They never played the defending champions that season, Boston Bruins. They never played a really good Washington Capitals team that year. They never played a really good Pittsburgh Penguins team that year. So the path is really, you know, sometimes you get fortunate, but create the path by having, you know, and like as you point out, winning the division and setting it up for that to play out that way.
And listen, I mean, no disrespect to Vegas. And again, it could be L.A. I mean, right now the Kings have 73, Vegas has 73, so the Kings can drop down. But it just, again, it's not to say they can't beat Dallas or Winnipeg or Colorado, but I just think it's more of a respect to the other two teams in the Central Division that you don't want to have to play in the first round. Yeah. And with I don't know, is Stone going to come back? I know they just acquired Mantha. I don't know what it is about Vegas. I mean, they've been so banged up. It's really kind of tough to put a finger on how good they are. But you got to respect them. Right, because of the fact that they've done.
I don't want to play. I would not want to play them if they're healthy. Now, Stone is a real wild card here because with a ruptured spleen or exactly, it's an injury to his spleen. So I'm not 100% sure on what it is, but it's those kind of things that we don't know if Mark Stone is going to play this year. You know, I know people are out there thinking, "Wow, they're just going to wait," and then on opening night of the playoffs, they'll roll him out like last year. And I just don't think it's that simple. I mean, the league really does scrutinize these certain things with injuries and verify them. It's not, you know, I know fans like to think about, you know, there's always a big conspiracy to help certain teams. It's just not the case. And so they're taking advantage of the rules that are there by using the LTIR space, which I think every fan base, when it benefits them, is happy about. And every fan base, when it benefits someone else, it's a rival, is not happy about, like everything in sports, right? So, at the end of the day, if Vegas, you know, right now Bruce Cassidy says the other day, and I completely agree with him, I watched their game against Columbus the other night, and they were light. And the Vegas Golden Knights are not light. play a heavy game when they're playing well. So I don't know if that's Stanley Cup hangover. It's been a lot of games and over the course of the last 12 months, you know, 10 months. I don't know, you know, they're missing key players. They're missing Stone, who is their emotional leader and their captain. But I still look at that team, and Aiden Hill is a good goalie. If they need to go to Logan Thompson, he's proven to be a good goalie. He was an all-star last year. They're still big and strong on defense. Their lineup is still good. They'd be missing Stone, and he's hard to replace. But I still think that they'd be a tough out in the playoffs. But, again, if they don't play to their level, it won't matter. And that's what happened in Columbus the other night. It was you could see Bruce was really kind of, you know, he was at a loss for words, but, you know, they just got outworked by the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night, or Monday night, and they ended up losing the game. So, you know, we'll see how things work for them moving forward. But you know, we got to live in the moment. Last year's Vegas team was really hard to deal with. A lot of the same personnel this year, but will they play the same way? We'll see.
Now, I like what Nashville's doing, 8-0-1 in their last nine. I wonder if this nine-game unbeaten streak really messed up Barry Trotz's plans for the future, right? You heard rumors he was thinking about moving Soros. He was going to move Novak. Now he gives Novak a contract extension, which I'm sure he doesn't mind. But the idea is, I talk about this all the time, EJ, on the podcast. I know that eight seeds make runs. And anybody can win it in the National Hockey League. I don't see an eight seed making a run in the West. I think it's just way too top heavy. So, you know, so I no disrespect to Nashville. I think they're one and done if they do make it. So they did what they had to do. You know, you don't make the playoffs all the time, and you want to try to feed your fan base a chance to go to the playoffs. But I wonder what Barry would have done if they were out. Because it does look like now they're not, now you can't do anything, right? They got to see this through.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team has responded, right? We talked about what happened with their trip to Vegas, where they were going to go to the Sphere and they were going to go to a golf trip, and the team was playing poorly in the run up, and management said, "Well, we're going to cancel all those events, and we got to get focused on what's going on the ice." And they did; they got focused. They won their 8 games in a row. They lost to Montreal last night in a very strange game where, I don't know if you saw it, David Savard shot where they hit the corner glass.
Yeah.
And then caromed, like Soros went behind the net to play it, and the puck caromed on a really tight angle into the net.
So, never see that.
You know, and so they ended, it was just a very strange play. So, but Nashville has played well enough to, you know, to make a push now. They did re-sign Novak. There was some talk and speculation that the Rangers were interested in Tommy Novak as maybe someone they could acquire to be a second center. And obviously that's not going to happen if he's going to stay in Nashville. So, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think you know, I think that the eighth seed in the West, it'll be a tough call to play, you know, one of those teams in the Central, or, you know, Vancouver looks like they are going to hold on to that top spot. They've got about, that was a 9-point lead. Edmonton's got four games in hand, and, you know, so, I mean, I guess that's something to be said for that. But if we assume that Vancouver holds on to that lead, I mean, I think that's the team, that's the area for an eighth seed. Because the Vancouver Canucks, it's been a great year. I mean, make no mistake, it's been a great year. And they just got Pettersson signed, and, you know, they got a really good goalie, and, you know, they got guys that can score, and you know, they're better on defense than they were. Their personnel on defense is just, it's light years better than it was, you know, last year when they struggled, and even the year before that. So they've had a good season, but they're one of those teams that they've played well all year. They haven't been a playoff team now for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them getting bumped in the first round.
You're right.
I mean, couldn't you? We've seen that movie before.
No, you're right.
Where a team has a really good regular season. So, I mean, I could also see them making a good run. I mean, they have a good enough team to do that. But, like, that's the play where I would say, if there's a team that I could see having a stumble in the first round, it's the Vancouver Canucks, only because I've seen that movie before. Good regular season, you played well, you know, the playoffs present a different challenge, and all of a sudden it doesn't happen for you. So, I mean, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's a competitive league. You know how it is, Donnie. There's not a lot of difference on a night-to-night basis between all these teams.
And Seattle's got pieces. We hear about Wennberg. If they were to let go of Johnny Gaud, that's a guy that I think a lot of teams would love to have. But
at the
same time, I mean, they're six out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on Nashville. They made the playoffs last year. You kind of want to follow that up. And I'm also wondering, boy, they probably would love a first-round matchup with Vancouver, right? That would really do, I think, a lot for the rivalry and all that. So, I mean, they've got a couple of days here, but they can't honestly believe. They've got to sell these pieces, right? They can't get caught up in all that, can they?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what you're offering. You know, like a Wennberg has been a piece, right? We've taught Rangers have been linked to Wennberg among other teams. Like, if somebody's offering me a fourth rounder for him, maybe I keep him, you know? But if somebody's offering me a second rounder and a prospect, well, I got to consider moving them, right? So that's where they're at. I don't know, you know, when you think about their depth and their system, they have depth to come in, and if they were to trade a Wennberg out, do they have somebody there? Is a Shane Wright ready to come in and play at the National Hockey League level and get some minutes in a big spot? I don't know. Only they know, you know, what's how they feel about, you know, the people within their group. So, I mean, you're right, though, when you say it about Seattle. But you'd like to build on a playoff run last year. I mean, they went to Game 7 of Round 2.
Right.
They were within a goal or two of going to the conference final. So it's nice to keep that momentum moving forward, but the reality is the reality right now. I don't think they're going to make it, although they did have a good win against Winnipeg, and they got a win in Calgary the other night, so they're hanging in there.
They seem to have Boston's number two for some reason.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, like if you're the Seattle Kraken, I mean, you got to think in your own, like you talk about playing Vancouver, like, you got to think, like, if we get there and we're playing the first round and we get it, let's say, Decord or Grubauer play well, I mean, we got a shot to beat Vancouver. I mean, that's just, you know, like I said, I just, you could make that case in your room and in your boardroom. So it's a little bit of a tricky call for Seattle. Like I said, I don't think they're going to get there this year. It would lead me to believe that if they have an asset they could sell to get pieces that can help them moving forward, you do it. But there's other things always to be considered about where you're at. And if it's not something that you think is really a huge help for you, maybe you hold on to the players and you try to push.
Well, it's a lot of fun, EJ, and we'll see how busy things will be over the next 48 hours or so. So what's your plan for the deadline over at the NHL Network?
Well, we're going to have we'll be on from, I guess we'll have Sportsnet's coverage early in the day. In the morning, and then, you know, we'll come up at 2 o'clock with our NHL Network coverage from, you know, 2 o'clock through the rest of the day. I'll be on 2 to 5, and you know, we'll we'll see the deals come across the wire before 3 Eastern, and then we'll break them down and try to make sense of it. And then we get ready for that stretch push, you know, those last 20 or so games, and to see who gets in and who doesn't.
Well, EJ, it's always a pleasure. We'll try to hook up on Monday, and we'll be able to, at least we'll know how the rosters will all be set at that point, and now we can just focus on who's in, who's out.
We can assess at that point.
That's it. We love to assess, EJ and I. Yeah. Big assess, guys.
All right,
guys.
Buddy. All right,
we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
That is the great EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. He's got no games this weekend, but he's going to do like 3 games the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So definitely check that out on some of the showcase games over the NHL Network, and they're going to have coverage all day long on Friday. Right now, as I'm recording this, it is 12:07 Eastern PM, so we are still, 51 hours from the deadline, but nothing's happened quite yet. The last deal I saw was Mantha to Vegas, but I'm sure some things are going to be coming down, so depending on when you're listening to this podcast, some things may have already come down. 3 games tonight in the NHL, Sabres and the Leafs from Toronto at 7 o'clock. At 9:30, it'll be the Avalanche playing host to the Red Wings, and at 10 o'clock, the Senators will be at the Ducks. So here's the lay of the land for game misconduct. Anthony will be back on Friday, and we will do the show, and we're going to try to record it as late as possible. We usually record it like between 11 and noon, usually, but because of the deadline and because of all the trades possibilities, we can't, unfortunately, dive past 3 o'clock because we've got the Michael Kay show. So we'll record, probably start recording around 2, and we'll try to get all of the deals that we can before we start to record. And of course, we're always available on social media at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct, if you want to discuss things with us. So we'll be back with you again on Friday, and we'll also add the social media aspect to it on Friday as well. And we'll also still have the top 5 of the week, our power rankings, and the deadline stuff. So we'll talk to you again on Friday. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca. We'll be right back.